you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, guys, before we start today's show, you know, here at Part of the Problem, we want you to have amazing sex. We'd like you to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required. Just better sex, guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. It's easy to use, it'll help you last longer, and it'll give you more confidence. See what the buzz is all about for yourself. Grab a bottle along with all of your sexual wellness products, from specifically formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. Go to promescent.com, no promo code needed, as they're offering free shipping with a 60-day money-back guarantee. One more time, that's promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. Go check them out today at promescent.com. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm the Libertarian Tupac. He is COVID Jesus, the King of the Calks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. I'm in the studio. Rob's at home. First time we've ever done this. Just saying. First time.
Studio swap.
There you go. Studio swap. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm doing good. Having a fun weekend. How about you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Can't complain. There was a little bit, I don't know if you saw, of a backlash against our last episode. There are some people online claiming that Nicki Minaj is in fact a different person from Hardy C.
Can I put out a public... No, you can go first. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just going to say that I have I cannot confirm or deny these allegations. I tried to research it. There was nothing available on online. And so, you know, some people are going to feel the way they feel. I don't know. I will say this. I stand by everything we said, and I couldn't be more comfortable in my genuine not knowing who those two people are. And I think every point I made stands. And sure, people are like, oh, the one you're talking about didn't used to be a hooker. But do they really know that? Do they know for sure that she wasn't a hooker? Isn't it at least a toss-up whether she used to be a hooker? And I think she probably made that song, too. But whatever. The point stands. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I was going to issue a similar public statement of, I don't care.
Yeah. Not only do I not care, I'm proud. I stand by it.
and I will use those two interchangeably in the future. I'm saying, I think I'm right. I think they are the same person. I think you guys are
I assume all women are hookers until proved otherwise.
Yeah, so there you go. And so in that case, we're 100% right. And the point we made stands still.
I'm not and sure everyone's got a price.
Let's get real. We're all hookers. Am I right, Rob? Well, by the way, equal opposite reaction to Cardi B or Nicki Minaj or whoever the fuck it was who said that thing is Chris Rock came out today. Let's let me get his tweet up there, right? So Chris Rock came out and announced that he has COVID. He has gotten COVID. He tweeted earlier today, "Hey guys, I just found out I have COVID. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated." Which seems like a fine public service announcement for somebody to make who cares about their fans and the people they influence. Just get vaccinated. Don't be like me. You don't want COVID. It's no joke, obviously, right? He says, "I've got it. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated." And it took about 10 minutes for the geniuses online to figure out that Chris Rock is vaccinated, or at least that's what he was saying. He is vaccinated. Now, he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, whatever. But at least that's what he said. Now, it would be one thing if he were to come out and be like, "Hey, I was full of shit. I lied. I didn't get vaccinated, and now I wish I had." But he's not saying that. He's just saying, and this, I understand, by the way, that this is like, it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. This is like too easy. I mean, not that we're fucking geniuses here, but we have enough brain power that to waste it on this does seem like too easy of a thing to knock down. But it's like the most important thing in the fucking world right now, so I don't know how else to not deal with this. But just, it's quite something, the game that they've set up here. This establishment version of Three Card Monty, where they're just like, "Oh, whatever you pick, you basically lose. So if you don't get vaccinated and get sick, well, you see, Rob, that's proof that you should have gotten vaccinated. And if you do get vaccinated and you get sick, that's proof that it'd be so much worse if you weren't vaccinated." That's literally the logic that everyone is operating under with no like reasoning given for it. People will get vaccinated, then they'll get very sick with COVID and they'll be like, "Well, I would have died if I didn't get vaccinated." Even though there's no evidence to support that you would have died, it's very, very unlikely. But by the way, I'm not even suggesting the equal opposite. I'm not saying that like it's proof that the vaccine doesn't work if you get sick after getting vaccinated. I mean, it's proof that you don't have like, you know, you're not, it's not a traditional vaccine. But
it certainly doesn't work that well,
right?
Or as promised.
The more reasonable conclusion for someone who gets vaccinated and then gets very sick afterward would be, "Man, this vaccine doesn't seem to be working that well." Now, I'm not saying you can make this sweeping judgment off one case. However, it is so bizarre and just incredibly dishonest because, I mean, okay, I'm sure it's just a coincidence that the thing with Nicki B happened the other day, and now this thing with Chris Rock, he's coming out and telling people to get vaccinated. But doesn't it, if you didn't, it's not like he came out and said, "I was vaccinated," or said, "I wasn't really vaccinated, I just said that." He just came out and tweeted what I said. "Just got COVID. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated." Now, if people did not start doing their own research and find out that he had, you know, acknowledged publicly that he was vaccinated, isn't that a little bit misleading? It isn't what anyone would think that they'd take from that he's saying, "I wasn't vaccinated. I wish I was, and then I wouldn't have gotten this. That's why you should get vaccinated." But in fact, what he's saying is he got vaccinated. He's got it. "Trust me, you don't want this," indicating this is pretty bad. Again, it's not that he came out and said this, but it's not like I'm reading too deeply between the lines. This is what he's saying. "Trust me, this is really bad. I'm really sick." I don't know. Like, come on, guys. This is all just so absurd. So like, yeah, okay, so your point is, if all of that is true, then yeah, you getting vaccinated didn't stop you from getting really sick.
But it might allow him to actually get the health services he needs.
That or being
that's
rich.
What he's saying. No, yeah, well, oh, yeah. That too. Yeah. I think that's his real message, is that COVID's real and you can get sick. And if they only give services to those that have been vaccinated, you better make sure you got that vaccine in you.
There is there's some interesting shit going on in the black community over this whole COVID vaccine stuff. And I got to say, I'm really fascinated by it. I don't claim to have a full understanding of it. I don't know that anyone does. But, you know, they very early on in the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, very early on, I mean, I'm talking like by, you know, March 2020, one of the huge talking points coming out of the corporate press was that black people are disproportionately likely to get very sick or die from COVID. And therefore, it was like a racist virus. And then there was a lot of talk of, like, you know, equity, you know, build back better, whatever the fucking shit that they always like to say, and that we had to think more about equity as we reopened the economy because of the toll this had taken on black people and all of this stuff. And exactly why the numbers disproportionately affected black people, I don't know that that's ever really been proven. There's different theories on it. There are certain health factors that where there are higher rates in the black community of things like, you know, diabetes and hypertension and stuff like that are bad to have with getting COVID. There's also been arguments about the jobs that black people do, and some of them were more at risk than others. I don't know. But they were always kind of trying to use this at, you know, as is typical, as the, you know, one of the go-to kind of playbooks or go-to plays of the corporate press is, you know, racial identitarianism. And so from the very beginning, they've been trying to play that route. And there's been an unbelievable amount of propaganda specifically targeting the black community. I don't know if you've seen any of these really cringy like videos online and stuff, but like where they'll have like the Cash Money guys doing like rap videos to get vaccinated and run DMC and shit like that, doing like get vaccinated videos and all of this. I mean, I suppose not exclusively targeted at black people, but primarily. But despite all of that, the black community has been one of the most resistant to getting vaccinated. And I think that the reason for that is that anti-government conspiracy theories are huge in the black community. And it's something that is not discussed very often, but anyone who like knows black people, which are almost never the upper middle class white people who shriek about racism. And even if they know black people, they know black people from their college campus. They don't know black people like from the hood. You know what I mean? And it doesn't really exist in those worlds. They have their own conspiracy theories, but it's all about like white supremacy and shit like that. But black people in the hood have conspiracies like, you know, like if you remember when Obama's old pastor, Reverend Wright, when that video of him surfaced, and what people would jump on about him was that he was anti-Semitic, or that he was anti-American, or that he was anti-white. But the thing that they didn't really focus on as much is how incredibly conspiratorial he was, is that in those sermons that like kind of blew up, he was saying shit like they created AIDS and sent it into the black community. They created crack and sent it into the black community and all of these things. And the crack part, he's partially right on. Anyway, but the point is, I don't know about the AIDS. Can't prove that one. But there, I think this contributes quite a bit to why black people are understandably, after their history in America, a little bit skeptical of the government's going to give everybody injections. And so that's been a very interesting kind of dynamic. And particularly, it's something we've talked about before on the show, where the progressive movement has really hung their hat now for, I mean, for decades, but particularly in the last decade, over on the idea that anything that disproportionately negatively impacts black people is racist, and we don't have to worry about intent because all that really matters is the outcome, right? So again, if and also that if the outcome is negative, that we can then infer from that that your intent is racist. Those are kind of the two, you know, playbooks. And this is why voter ID is racist. It doesn't matter if there's anything in the law saying black people can't vote. The fact is that black people are less likely to have the ID, and therefore it is racist. And then also, therefore, we can determine that your intent was racist when you passed it. Like, okay. But now all of a sudden with these vaccine passports, that's kind of a thorn in their side. That's a little bit of a problem. And it's funny to watch them squirm when you point this out. I had this this video on I don't know if you guys saw, but on one of my Kennedy appearances that kind of went viral across like all platforms. Like I was my wife just sent me that it was on TikTok.
Nice.
I've never done anything with TikTok. I just figured out that was a thing. But yeah, I got like a million views on there. Anyway. So, but I was saying to this woman who was she was like one of the head advisors at the State Department under Obama, and I was saying it's interesting that you progressives, after I was calling her a fascist, quite literally, I said to her, I go, it's interesting, none of you guys seem to care anymore. This disproportionately affects minorities. Anyway, so that's the thing. So this story—
Did she respond to it?
Oh, yeah, I think she just like scoffed at me or something. I don't know. She didn't have—
that we don't care about minorities.
She didn't even give me one of those.
How dare you?
She didn't even give me one of those. She really fucking— she had very little to respond. But anyway, according— so this is I don't know if any of you guys saw this. Was speaking of viral videos, there was a video of a restaurant here in New York where a couple of black women were denied service due to their lack of vaccine proof. A fight broke out. I don't know the details of it. I don't know exactly who was in the right or who was in the wrong there. But you know, I grew up in New York City. Everyone might have been in the wrong. Is that—
yeah, I think so. That's going to be my guess.
Quite possibly. I'm just saying, you know, I grew up in New York City. Black women, you know, speaking in like generalities here. Is that a general? Yeah.
Hell no, Dave.
Generalizing. Yeah, you might get a little bit of that. Try to turn them down service at a restaurant and you might get yourself an aw hell no. That just saying. But this is what I found kind of interesting, right? So according to thepostmillennial.com, which sounds like as trustworthy a news site as any, Black Lives Matter is set to protest New York City restaurant where black women were denied service due to lack of vaccine proof. And isn't that kind of interesting? I don't know. It's one of those things you just kind of want to sit back and go, whew. Maybe we could weaponize Black Lives Matter to attack the COVID regime. And that would be interesting.
Okay. It would be great and funny to me if all of a sudden Black Lives Matter was my primary ally, because they're out there saying that this is a racist policy that disproportionately affects black people, and how dare you? That would be great. From what I read in this article, you got a bunch of women, they show up to a place, they pretend like they never knew that COVID passports were going to be a thing. No one was going to ask them this question. And they instantly decide that this lady is only asking them because she's racist, and they beat the shit out of her. That's what it seems happened. Now,
doesn't seem right.
There shouldn't be a policy. That policy should not exist. If a random person is enforcing that policy, you shouldn't pretend like it came out of nowhere and beat the shit out of them. And Black Lives Matter, which absolutely should be coming to the case of why is there a policy, and getting in front of the government and saying, why are you making this racist policy, probably should not be protesting the restaurant where a lady got beaten up, probably for just doing her job and— yes. What is government policy. So this is an escalating cartoon of everybody being wrong.
Yes. By the way, I completely agree with you. I completely agree. It's all like fucking some South Park episode. I think Tim Dillon tweeted recently, we're living in a South Park episode. That's what all of it is. Everyone's insane. And I agree with you. So it's not even that I think, oh, Black Lives Matter are my allies on this. The thing that's interesting to me is that does the corporate press now have to demonize Black Lives Matter?
Oh, yeah, that's
because
fun.
They were, you know, like, oh, they're heroes and what a wonderful movement. And now all of a sudden, if they're standing up against COVID passports, where does that put them? All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Cuts Clothing. In 2016, Cuts founder Steve Borelli set out to create clothes ready for every occasion the modern man faces. He started by reinventing the t-shirt. The end result? What GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. The signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend Tee. It's a bold new take on a classic design. They combine the ultimate blend of high quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. It's really great. If you're a guy out there who just wants to have a t-shirt where you're going to look great, you don't want to overthink it, you got to check out Cuts. It's the place to go. After they accomplished the perfect t-shirt, next Cuts set out to create fabric uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Consider the new Cuts hoodie, where they developed Hyperloop French Terry fabric, a textile that's temperature controlled and ageless. You'll never need to take it off, and you certainly won't want to. Or try the wrinkle-free Pika Polo, a design that keeps you fitted for the office, the golf course, at home, the gym, or on your next hot date. Cuts is premium with a purpose. Each piece of clothing is designed with custom engineered fabric, expertly graded for the perfect fit, arming you for every challenge and every opportunity. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. And you can get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/POTP. That's cutsclothing.com/POTP for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. All right, let's get back into the show. Look, the problem with Black Lives Matter has always been the word black.
The George Soros socialist movement?
Well, no, but it's not even that, right? Because forget that. The organization itself is run by a bunch of Marxist idiots and you know, like kind of neo-Marxist, you know.
I wouldn't call them idiots. Or, they're living in all-white neighborhoods and mansions. They've done something right.
Okay, well, they know where to buy real estate. I'll give them that. But I'm just saying,
and how to make money.
But it's not even just Marxists. They claim to be trained Marxists or whatever. But it's like that they're, you know, like these kind of neo-Marxist critical race theory deconstructionists. Just, you know, it's awful. Like, just they're an awful ideology. But the problem with the broader movement, with that the Libertarian Party was so stupid to say they support the movement and not that, is that again, they racialize everything. And race essentialism should not be what any individualist is embracing, and it shouldn't be what anyone who cares about justice for all people should be embracing. So, in other words, Black Lives Matter should have always focused on the policies. That should have been from the very beginning. It's like Scott Horton always said, Black Lives Matter should have been called Accountability for Killer Cops. And then everyone could have gotten on board with that. And then, instead of only cherry picking the instances where black people are killed by the cops, they could have talked about every time people are killed by the cops, no matter what color they are. And it happens a lot. I mean, it happens to white people get killed around twice as much as black people. And, you know, proportionalities and all of that aside, there's still a whole lot of them, and they're all wrong if they're wrong. Like, if it's a non-justified, you know, killing, then it's wrong. And so you should – so again, with this shit, it shouldn't be – look, we use the – as we were saying before and as I've said on the show before, we use some of these examples to poke holes in the opposition's arguments, right? So we use examples of like, oh, you know, I thought you guys cared about – you know, the things that disproportionately affect the black community to prove that they're full of shit, right? Like that, and it's a useful technique, but that's not why we oppose vaccine passports. We don't oppose vaccine passports because they'll disproportionately affect one group or the other. I don't care who it affects. I don't care if it only affected black people or only affected white people. I'd still be against it because it's wrong and tyrannical and stupid. So that's why I'm against it. In the same sense that we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks about the case for people who have natural immunity to get the vaccine. But that's not because I think everyone else should be forced into getting the vaccine. I don't think anyone should be. And so the reason we use that is because it's just it just destroys the opposition's argument, right? So it's fine to use these things as tactics, but the idea that there'll be some group who thinks it's fucked up that black people get turned away, it's like, okay, but it's fucked up when anyone gets turned away. But again, to your point, they shouldn't be taking this out on some fucking hostess. They should be protesting City Hall, not this fucking business. This was under an order by the mayor. These fucking businesses. Now, you can make an argument. I'm not trying to absolve anyone of responsibility. You can make an argument that they don't get to claim just following orders. However, let's focus on where the orders are being given. And again, this is a little bit different. Like, just to make this clear, it's very different when a police officer says, "I'm just following orders," and then they're going to go ruin someone's life. What?
No, I just think that's so funny, is that it's a restaurant person just following orders.
Well, that's my point, right? But it's also, yeah, it's not as if, look, a policeman can just quit and go get another job. Now, you could say the restaurant owner can just quit and go get another job, but they're coming after your job that had nothing to do. Like, they didn't sign up for a job that was going to be enforcing these rules and violating people's rights. They signed up for a job that was like, I'm going to start a restaurant and cook delicious food for people. And now they're saying, we will ruin you. They are threatening them if they don't do this. So I'm not absolving them. Perhaps there's some businesses who are being brave and standing up, and I wish more people had that courage. But if you're going to protest someone, probably the most reasonable place is the government that are forcing all of these businesses to do this, not the businesses.
Or random Asians.
Or Asians. Always. Yes. Yeah. For anything.
I think you were saying it's a fun argument for us, but the issue is that there's COVID passports. It's not that it's affecting one group of people or another group of people. It's just a little bit funny here because to the liberal media, minorities are kind of the protected class. So, if like they instituted a policy that the rich people had to do something and it didn't work out well for rich people, it'd be funny because you'd be like, oh, look at this dumb policy. It's not working out for you. So in the environment that we're in, the minorities are kind of the protected class of the media. And so now they've dictated a policy that like harms their protected class. So that's why it's just kind of funny to see how it's going to play out and, poke at it a little bit.
And also, because it's not as if this is just one random, argument that they like to use on occasion. The truth is that everybody who has been a prominent opponent or threat or critic of the corporate press for my entire life, at least over the last 40 years, is labeled a racist. That's what every one of them gets labeled right away. I mean, just about without exception. That's the go-to. And it's become the go-to for progressives in general. And so it is quite entertaining to throw this back in their face. That wait, I thought this was your whole identity, and now you're completely fine doing that. I mean, my God, the idea that having to show a license once every 4 years when you vote is some type of systemic racism, yet having to show proof of getting a pharmaceutical product injected into you multiple times to go anywhere is nothing. It's just, again, these are just these things are useful for rallying the percentage of the population that are still interested in logical arguments, which I granted is not everybody, but we've got to at least get those people, as many of them as we can, on our side, And so that's a useful endeavor as far as I'm concerned.
And it showcases that they don't care. Every time that they're yelling about, for example, on the voting issue, the systemic racism of it, they don't care. It's that they want power. And it's the same thing here. So it's a different way of taking that power. But the point is, they don't care about these people.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's the point of it, is to demonstrate how full of shit they are, and that they claim, you know, this motive. But you're like, well, clearly that's not. This proves that that's not your motive. And just to hammer home the point I was making a second ago, I completely understand, and I think everybody's got to come to terms with the fact that not everybody is going to be persuaded by a rational argument. And that I think if we're going to be strategic about this, like for someone like me, right, when I do this show, I broadcast this show out. So it's kind of this like wide net, and you're going to catch the people who are interested in rational arguments. That's who's going to respond to it. Not everybody, but 100% of the people who respond are interested in the rational argument, right? But for other people, if you're going out and you're trying to like convince your friend or your, you know, cousin or this, or you have to kind of be able to select when there are people who are not interested in rational arguments. And if that's the case, maybe there's another way to target them. Maybe there's a way to target them that relies on giving them some type of status if they come over onto this team of rational argument. Like maybe there's another way to do that. But there are still a lot of people out there, I'm not saying a majority or even a huge percentage, but people out there who fucking are persuaded by that. And to them, it's an important undertaking to expose the establishment. And to your point, what it exposes about them is that they're full of shit. And that this isn't really what they care about. They don't really care that showing ID is, you know, to vote is racist. They care that it is, they can more easily consolidate power if you don't have to. And that's it. That's what it's always been about.
And by the way, maybe this is how we end the whole COVID passport thing, is we actually need more people of minorities to beat up random hostesses at restaurants, to the point that the media has to report on it, and then the cops got to come out, and either restaurants are like, you know what, we're not going to put our hostesses at risk, or the cops have to be at every single restaurant to offer protection for them. And then people start realizing, oh, the general public really doesn't want this.
Yeah. Well, look, I think that.
And it's kind of funny to jump a hostess. You shouldn't do it, but it's kind of funny that they're just staring at their stand, and they're usually the prettiest person, and they can't even handle waiting the tables, and you just kick the shit out of them. It's a funny person to beat up.
Who would keep that job? I mean, forget even like the threat of being jumped or something like that. Just people giving you shit and being furious. I mean, that job just sucks anyway. Be like, I'm out of here. Like, you're not even making like, do they make tips? I don't even think that maybe the staff split some tips with them. I don't know. But what? Anyway, it's an awful job. But look, there was a protest, as you mentioned earlier. There was a protest here in New York City. Had a few thousand people at it. I mean, look, I'm not saying this is what we want it to be, but we need any idea, any option, anything people have to push back against this shit. We got to be kind of all ears at this point. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying fucking just assaulting random people who work at businesses. That's not okay. But I'm just saying that we need whatever plan someone can come up with that might fucking take this thing down is we're not in a position to turn down anything. Let's just say that to say we don't have time to listen. Switching gears slightly, but still on the general topic, I did I caught Bill Maher was on Jimmy Kimmel's show the other day. Look at this. Last week or last episode, Sarah Silverman. This episode, Bill Maher. We're finding our progressive heroes in all this craziness. As I've said a million times before on the show, Bill Maher is a guy who had a big influence on me when I was a teenager. And I used to fucking watch Politically Incorrect. And I still loved what he got fucking kicked off Politically Incorrect for saying. And he, there's a million opinions he has that I think are retarded. And he's good on some stuff. He's been reasonably good on the COVID stuff. Not great, but like, he was always kind of like calling out some of the insanity of all of it. And you got to be somewhat appreciative of people who do that, who have some influence on the crazy side that can call out a little bit of the craziness. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Harry. You shouldn't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price, and now you don't have to, thanks to our friends over at Harry's. And you can redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/problem. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price, still as low as $2 per blade. Harry's blades are designed to stay sharp. A recent study showed that guys who shave 4 times a week, they said their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. Harry's has no gimmicky features. There's not some flashlight and 17 different blades and all of this other stuff that you don't need that, you know, makes you pay more for the razors. They just have everything you need. A weighted ergonomic handle with their signature German-engineered blade cartridge. It's a smart, simple razor designed to deliver a close shave along all the contours of your face. Harry's blades are crafted in their very own German factory, controlling their means of production and focusing on the most important razor features allows Harry's to set a reasonable price, like I said, as low as $2 per blade refill. And they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades so much, they'll give you a 100% money back guarantee on everything at harrys.com. Harry's is giving their best offer yet to Part of the Problem listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set. You're going to get your 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's, so go to harrys.com/problem to try Harry's today. All right. Let's get back into the show. Anyway, I thought this this appearance was very interesting, and I wanted to play a clip from it that was getting shared all over Twitter and stuff, and respond to it a little bit. So let's just play a little bit of Bill Maher on Jimmy Kimmel from the other night.
In New York. Okay. Yeah. Now the reason why this is relevant, I have to cite a survey that was in the New York Times, which is a liberal paper, so they weren't looking for this answer, but they were talking about this. The question was, what do you think the chances are that you would have to go to the hospital if you got COVID? Mm-hmm. And Democrats thought that was way higher than Republicans. 41% of Democrats, and the answer is between 1 and 5%.
Okay.
41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% thought it was 20 to 49%. So 70% of Democrats thought it was way, way, way higher than it really was. Liberal media has to take a little responsibility for that, for scaring the shit out of people. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's much harder for every touring act to sell tickets in blue states.
Oh, interesting.
They're afraid to go out of the house.
I see.
Whereas in red states, it's all good to go.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to say to those people in San Rafael and Pittsburgh and New York, I ain't going to give it to you. I promise, it's safe. We're doing everything we can. There's distancing. There's masking. Enjoy. Live life.
You did get it in
Embrace
May.
Embrace life.
You did get it.
I got it after I was vaccinated.
You got it after you were vaccinated, right. And you didn't, you wouldn't.
And I had no symptoms. That may be because I was vaccinated, but let's not even get into that because I know you and your boyfriend, Howard Stern, are very paranoid about this. But it's a little weird that I got it after. But now many, many, many people have had that same situation.
Yes. I know people but very well.
Look, bottom line is we know if you're vaccinated, you almost never die from it. So, look, I'm for whatever is getting America back to where I can see the James Bond movie in the theater.
All right. So let's pause that. That's basically what I wanted to play from the clip. Now, look, I will say, obviously, this is not perfect. But sometimes you don't want someone to be perfect. You know, if you're going to be perfect and right about everything, then what are you going to be? You're going to be me. Okay? But we already have a me. We don't need everybody to be me. You know, sometimes like I'll hear libertarians. I remember talking about this in a group of like a group chat that I was in with some other libertarians who I'm friends with. And they were talking about how we really want to get Tulsi Gabbard, I think it was Tulsi Gabbard, to become a libertarian. Like, we just got to get, you know, some fucking Murray Rothbard in her hand and have her read it and realize libertarianism is the way to go. And I was saying to them, I was like, well, maybe we don't want that. Maybe that's not really the goal. Maybe we need someone to be the best left winger in the country. You know what I mean? And sometimes there'll be things like with Tucker Carlson, where he's just such a right winger on issues where we're like, ah, you're wrong about that. But it's like, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good that he's a right winger on that issue. And maybe his role is just to be the best right winger in the country, you know? And so, like, sometimes you got to accept that, like, okay, people aren't going to be perfect, but it's still great that they'll say it in a way that this audience can hear it and not immediately say, oh, you're in the out group. You don't get to speak to us anymore. So giving him a little bit of a pass, which maybe is unfair, but maybe I'm being a little bit too generous. What I admire about Bill Maher is that he still has this feeling in him that he's supposed to be a badass. That the comedian who's like political is supposed to come say something that won't just get applause from the audience. And it was awkward there. You can feel the tension in the room. Usually, you know how late night shows are. It's usually you say whatever plays to the crowd and it's all kind of fluff and nonsense. But he's saying some fucking shit here. And okay, he doesn't go hard at the vaccines, but he doesn't exactly give him a pass either. He goes, Al, let's not even get into that. But I did get it after the vaccine, which is weird, you know? And then we're like, oh, a whole lot of people did that. And I do actually like that he said, even though it may not have been the best, it may not have been perfect, Rob, we could pick it apart. At least he made clear that the goal was to get back to reopening, right? Like the goal was to get back to normal life and that everyone should be together on that being the goal. Okay. The shot at him and Howard Stern, your boyfriend, are so worried about this, I thought was great. I know it's a little bit self-serving to say his interest is selling tickets in blue states. But you gotta give him some credit. Like, you really gotta give him some credit for the essential point that he's making in this clip. Because it's a really important point to make, which is that we live in this. The dominant narrative is that, well, the anti-vaxxers are just crazy. And they're just not following the science. And anybody who's skeptical about this vaccine or doesn't want to take it, I mean, they're, first off, they're a huge risk to the rest of us. They don't know anything about what's actually going on. They don't read anything. They don't understand what's happening. They have this irrational fear. And therefore, it is justified to rob them of whatever basic liberties we could rob them of. You know, that, like, whether it's losing their job or not being allowed to go to a restaurant or whatever, you know, like who the fuck knows what next is possible. I mean, all around the world, they're going a lot further than that. Listen to what they're fucking floating out in Australia about saying to the unvaccinated. I mean, the other day, one of the Australian leaders was just straight up saying, you are not going to have freedom if you don't have your vaccine this time next year. Of course, in Australia, no one has their freedom right now, but all that aside, what Bill Maher just cut right to the chase there on, which is so fucking important to get to, is that, well, actually, do you want to talk about following the science or having any goddamn clue what's going on here with COVID? Let's look at some polling data from the New York Times, not some fucking far right wing, you know, publication from the New York Times. They said that, what was it, 70% of Democrats have absolutely, they are not on this planet in terms of what they think the risk of COVID is. Now, when he said the actual risk is 1% to 5% chance you end up in the hospital if you have it, that is not even, by the way, if you do a few controls on that, you're getting under 1%. So it, in other words, most of the people, when you're talking about 70% of the Democrats who are, I think he said it was 40%, put it over 50%, another 20 something percent, put it from 20 to 49%, whatever it is, right? If you were to control for being over 90, having like like huge fucking like, you know, health problems, all of that shit, the odds of you ending up in the hospital is under 1%. You have them thinking it's 50, like it's a 50-50 shot. If they get COVID, they're going to go to the hospital, when it's actually a 99-1 that you won't. Now, on what planet does that group of people get to look down on the other group of people as not following the science or understanding the real threat that COVID imposes on all of us? That's the real thing. And if you're going to knock Bill Maher for something, which again, keep in mind what I said before, I'd rather him just be a good left winger on this to some degree. But how, there is some part to go, how do you not just take the next step and go, how are we going to sit here and mock, which he will continue to do after this, and I promise you Jimmy Kimmel will continue to do after this, mock the people who are concerned about a vaccine. Now, feel however you feel about the vaccine. You could think that, for the sake of argument, let's say the vaccine is perfect. Let's say you cannot get COVID after being vaccinated. There is zero side effects. It is just the perfect cure to COVID, and there are still people who are resistant to that. Okay, fine. But they're resistant to something that they have a 99% chance of surviving without the vaccine. So, substantially higher than 99% for most healthy people. Okay? So what's worse? What's more detached from reality? Not wanting to take a perfect vaccination, in this hypothetical, a perfect vaccination for something that is statistically almost zero threat to you, or believing something that is statistically zero threat to you is a coin flip of whether you'll get through it. I mean, like, is it, once you start going down this road, and this is why the crowd gets so tense and why Jimmy Kimmel is awkwardly laughing, because once you start actually looking at this information, oh, it tells you what's what. There's really no getting away from it. Yeah, there is one side of this who is completely removed from reality, who is completely removed from science and objective facts. And Bill Maher just let you know which side that is. If you believe something that is under a 1% chance is a 50-50, you are fucking not living in reality. And then to see those same fucking people mock anyone, they'll mock someone like you with natural immunity who doesn't want to get the vaccine, when their fucking God Emperor truth science can't even give you a fucking reason why you should. And these same people, like, but this is the thing, right? While everybody, while all of the establishment, the blue checks on Twitter and all this shit, the corporate press, they're mocking the fucking anti-vaxxers. Then you see videos like that other video that's going viral of people on airplanes with like face shields and fucking, you know, like triple masks and all this shit. Like, who's, like, you really, you're going to even compare that level of insanity, paranoia, to someone who's just like, eh, I don't know. I don't want a brand new fucking mRNA vaccine. I'll wait. We're going to even compare those two. I don't know, Rob, jump in here.
I mean, I think you said it perfectly. It's absolutely ridiculous that these people are pretending like they have any awareness of what the science is if they think it's a coin flip about whether or not they're going to die.
It's something
you, like, how do you even make the, how do you even pretend? I will say, and this is the opposite take of what you were saying, I somewhat hate the fake edgy where you're totally within the category of acceptable comic, but like you go right to the corner and you pretend like, oh, look at how dangerous I am. Where the reality is, no, you're there because you're not. That was like when Jon Stewart did the same thing, where when all of a sudden it was acceptable to talk about the Wuhan, like now he's pointing out the joke. Like, I don't know. There's something about that that annoys me.
Well, I think that, see, Jon Stewart to me, I have less of a problem with, because Jon Stewart kind of doesn't really do these things that regularly anymore. And so he came and did it, and that was the first thing he said. So I don't know if it was just, oh, now's the time when it's okay to say it. I don't know. Maybe he would have done that a few months earlier. I don't know. But I'll give him a pass on
that. I'll put my money on that he was not getting on that show. He's Maybe. Friends with Colbert. He can make his arrangements to come on. Like, that was timed that it was okay to be doing that joke then.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right about that. I will say that you're definitely right that Bill Maher, what Bill Maher is doing is cozying right up to the corner. There you go, right up to the corner of where you're allowed to be within that sphere. And it's edgy in a way for that sphere, but for the like podcast world, it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like that. And it is like there is something infuriating about being like, okay, so you just read the number and Bill Maher, you're a smart enough guy. Now take this to its logical conclusion, which is what? That, yeah, one side of this is out of their minds. And it's not the side who doesn't want to get vaccinated. I'm sorry. You know, like that's just the reality of it. There's one side who's lost it, and it's the ones you just cited the data to prove. Okay? So I get that.
And he also said, well, at least, you know, if you got the vaccine, you're not going to die. So what about every healthy 30-year-old? So if that's the one thing we're concerned about, can we just say that they don't need the vaccine? Yeah. And then why is it that you guys don't want to explore in any capacity whatsoever? You're both saying you've had multiple friends that have had breakthrough cases and got sick. And as comedians in the landscape of commenting on politics are not interested at all. Like, hey, are they lying to us about how good this thing is? That's not even a little bit of interest.
Look, dude, I'm with you. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Podium. If you run a business, you know your customers have grown to expect a simpler way of doing business, no matter what your product. That's why more than 90,000 local businesses of all sizes have turned to Podium. Whether you have one location or 1,000, Podium can help you stay ahead. Podium makes doing business as simple as sending a text, because when texts get opened, business gets done. All your employees can text from a single inbox, offering a smoother experience for your customers. Answering a question, send a text. Collecting reviews, send a text. Scheduling an appointment or a delivery, send a text. Payment collection, just send a text. A car dealership just sold a $50,000 truck in 4 texts. Dealerships are running profitable service centers with easier appointment scheduling and reminders. Home service providers are responding faster and winning more jobs than their competition. When a homeowner wants to get in touch, they don't leave a voicemail. Texting lets you get back in touch faster. If you're the first to reply, you're way more likely to get the job. Retailers, local service professionals, everyone can benefit from this. Today's customers expect on-demand everything, even from local businesses. Stay ahead of the competition with Podium. They have free plans for growing businesses, plus all the power growing businesses need to scale. Get started free today at podium.com/problem. That's podium.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. Look, I'll say this, right? So Bill Maher did once actually lose everything or lose his show for saying something that was really outside. Do you remember what Bill Maher said that got him fired?
Yeah, he said that terrorists were brave. It defines brave.
Well, what he said was that
they were calling them cowards. I think that was George, it. They were calling.
Yeah. So George W. Bush called the terrorists cowards. And he goes on his show, and this is only like a couple weeks after 9/11. And he goes, I mean, cowards? He's like, I mean, they're evil. But is coward really the word you would use for someone who gets in a plane and flies it into a building? And then he goes, no, you know who the real cowards are? They're people who lob cruise missiles from a safe distance. So he actually said that the terrorists are braver than our military, which I don't know if people, I really do think today, if you're like a younger person today, I don't know if you can fully understand how brave that was to say right on the heels of 9/11. So it's not like he's never done that before. Now, granted, he's not saying the bravest thing you could say here. But all things considered, okay, and I get your point. I'm not even like disagreeing with you. I completely get what you're saying. But all things considered, sometimes you got to choose between imperfect options, okay? And I still think it's great that Colbert's audience heard Jon Stewart say that in the way he did, in the hilarious way he did. And I still think it's great that Kimmel's audience heard Bill Maher say that. So I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I get your point is well taken, But I still, you got to at least give something to the fact that at least this was said, for the love of God.
I think also to that point, it might be worth watching like the next 30 to 60 seconds, because I think he does go a little bit further on saying it's time to move on from this.
Oh, okay. Well, let's watch it. Sure.
I could be dead wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure.
And I think we all experience this, but you in particular experience it, I think, from both sides, where, you know.
Oh, no, they move on.
Mad at you.
Well, there you go.
My bad.
That's okay. Do not edit that out. Leave it in there. See what happens. And Rob tries to direct. And this next part's going to be so good. You know what? I'm thinking of a movie I saw the other day. All right. Nothing to do with this. All right. There's a few other things we had mentioned that we might talk about. I don't know. You want to talk about the Haitians at the border? There's a whole lot.
I think
lot
we
of
should
them.
Talk about the Afghanistan drone strikes.
Oh yeah, sure. Sure. Okay, yeah, that's right. We never brought that up. That was on the list of things to talk about on the last episode, I think, and we never got to it. For anyone who doesn't know, right, right toward the end of the war in Afghanistan, I guess our final act was a drone strike that they the Pentagon claimed took out an ISIS-K leader.
It was celebrated. And, yeah. That was their big takeaway. It's like, listen, the whole thing fell, but on the way out, listen, we were able to drone him and we got one of their main guys.
Now, what came out pretty quickly about that was that we also killed some kids. And you're like, oh, that sucks, man. You know, like even the Pentagon goes, bummer. Bummer about those kids.
But that's the way drones work. You assume if we hit a target, some kids, that's like the missile fuel. It's right. Just, it's the calculation of a drone strike.
That's right. It's like, hey, listen, it sure does suck that some kids got killed, but we killed a bad guy, you know? Now, don't spend too much time thinking about how you would feel if those were your kids. You know what I mean? Those are these other brown kids across the fucking world, so who cares about it? But yeah, we got an ISIS guy. But then there was some independent investigating on the ground that really started pointing toward what basically was known for weeks, that there was really no evidence that there was an ISIS leader there. And the Pentagon came out and admitted as much a couple days ago.
You know,
that,
it's kind of funny.
We got it wrong. And they gave an official, you know, like when you murder somebody, you know, the punishment for that is you have to say whoopsie. And so the Pentagon came out and they gave their official whoopsie. And that's just that. So we go out of the war in Afghanistan as we came in, killing innocent people for nothing. It's just goddamn, man. It's unbelievable for all the things that will be a scandal. You know, I'm not saying this isn't a scandal, but we all know this will be moved on from very quickly. It's just like, oops, thought it was them. That's how low the bar is. For how sure you have to be before you slaughter innocent people that you're even getting one bad guy with them. Now, by the way, for anyone, you know, in somewhat civil society in any sane world, if we were dealing with people we value as humans, right? So if you were watching a movie and there was like a hostage situation in a like a bank or something, and the cops are the good guys in the movies like they always are, and there was like a sniper, you know, a SWAT team, like sniper guy was up at the top, and he was like, okay, I can shoot the guy who's holding everyone hostage. All I have to do is shoot through this little girl's neck, and then I can take this guy out. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do that. So we'll take out the bad guy, but we'll just kill this little girl, you know? So I'm going to do that. And, like, you couldn't watch that movie anymore, right? Because that guy isn't the good guy anymore. Now he's a monster. Now you're every bit as bad as the guy holding people hostage, right? So you couldn't like, watch that anymore because you'd be like, I hate this person. He's a bad guy. So now it's not only that. It's, oh, I killed this little girl, and that guy was just her dad. It wasn't even the guy holding everyone hostage. So not only should we never be willing to do something like that, even if we think we're getting the bad guy, but look at that. We don't even bother fucking knowing for sure that it's the bad guy. What a fucking disgrace, man. Sorry.
I liked the second the story came out the first time and they said they admitted that there were civilian casualties. And I was like, that's odd. They never do that. And they certainly do that this quickly. There must be more to this story. And then we find out a week later they didn't even kill a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally just for nothing. Just on the way out. Let's fucking... And it's still funny, right, that you'll still see in the corporate press more outrage for Biden ending the war than, you know, just killing a family for no reason. And it was more kids than initially thought also. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to even say about that one, but just that's the warfare state for you. Literally just the most evil thing in the world. And
but we do a good job of pretending like we're the good guys. Somehow we do a good job of just brushing our civilian deaths right under the rug, still looking, you know, doing memories of 9/11 and saying how tragic it is that civilians died over here while just totally ignoring the fact that we're doing the exact same thing over there.
And what drives me crazy about it is that even after like all this shit, that it'll even amongst people who grant. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when I used to argue with Essie Cupp, who is just like the most neocon hawkish person, you know, imaginable. And of course, she was a Republican and is now basically a Democrat. I don't know if she's officially a Democrat or not, but she is, which is like a typical neocon, you know, went over and joined the Democratic side. But she used to argue with me and I'd make all of these points. Like I would just make this like, you know, in the 2 minutes I got or whatever, just like these bulletproof, like here's why the entire war on terrorism was wrong. And then she would say this, and this on more than one occasion, she'd go, okay, Dave, granted, I'll concede all of that, but we got to go stop Assad from doing that, you know? And there's like all these people who are like, they'll concede that you're right. And that, yes, we've done the most evil thing imaginable, but we got to go save Venezuela. But if China invades Taiwan, we got to go defend Taiwan. We got to go. And it's like, what? You're still treating it like we're the good guys? Like, what do you think this is? Again, if you were watching the movie that I said before with the one little girl getting killed to take out the bad guy, you'd immediately recognize who's the bad guy in this movie. Like, you're the bad guy. You, sniper, willing to kill little girls, you're the bad guy. So stop talking about the fucking American military and whatever their next potential adventure is with anything other than the realization that they're the bad guys. That's the bad side. You don't have a right to go drop bombs on people because you don't like what some other state actor is doing. Sorry, you lost it. You lost your moral credibility. You lost it in fucking Korea, in Vietnam, in fucking Iraq 1, in Afghanistan, in Iraq 2, in Iraq 3, in Syria, in Libya, in Yemen, in Somalia. Did I mention Libya? I think I did. You lost it. You're the bad guys. You are the evil ones. Don't tell me about the next one where you have to go be the good guys, where we'll also kill a whole bunch of innocent people and fucking leave things a mess, worse than they ever were before we were there.
And I think what's lost on liberals, and this is why we need more publicity on these stories, is that it's not isolated to we're the bad guys when it comes just to war. This is the exact same institution that's telling you, hey, this vaccine's a really good idea and it's good for you. The same people that are willing to kill kids over there and pretend like they'd killed a terrorist and so it was okay to have killed those kids and then not really apologize for it, is the exact same Biden who will get on the news and say, yep, these vaccines are a good idea and we're looking out for your health. They're not looking out for anybody. Like, you know what I mean? It's like we got this weird thing where we can compartmentalize and go, oh, yeah, yeah, they just, they're evil when they go over there. But over here, they're looking out for me. It's the same guy.
Yeah. I mean, I've had this, and this is true with like left wingers and right wingers. I've had the same thing where like fucking, I remember for the just, pick a few random examples, but for right wingers, I remember when Soleimani when Trump killed that Iranian general, and there was all this tension, like we might go to war with Iran, and you know all this shit. And there are these right wingers who are like, "Well, the CIA says that he was fucking plotting this terrorist attack." And I'm like, "You realize they're the same people who just framed your favorite president ever for treason, right? Like literally those people. Now all of a sudden you'll trust." Like, they're really good when it comes to this, even though they're, like, you know, I don't know. I always use the example before, but it's like, if you found out someone was, like, a pedophile, would you let them babysit your kid? Like, these are the same people that you know are this evil. Why are you trusting them the next day? And for left wingers, I mean, there's a ton of it. Like, there's, you know, I remember, I don't know. I debated Sam Cedar back in the day. Didn't do great, but whatever. Only loss, only political, only loss I've ever taken.
That was one of your first debates. That goes way back in the Parlor Problem archive.
It was my first, but it was bad. I still fucking, I like another shot at that one. But anyway, haven't lost one since, by the way. But that was fucking, but he said at one point, like, I was just going off on how evil the wars were. And he goes, listen, I'll agree with you. He goes, we're committing borderline genocide in Iraq. And then, like, we went into some of the social program shit, and I was like, but don't you, so you're, like, trusting those same people who you just called genocidal maniacs to administer this social safety net? And he was like, well, I mean, it's a whole different department, you know, like, and he's like, well, the Medicare office has nothing to do with the fucking Pentagon. And you're like, yeah, but I mean, like, the same politicians are putting in, like, literally the same guys are fucking voting for this policy and that. Like, you really trust them to oversee this whole thing? So it's both the left and the right, man. They all really suffer from this, that when it's like, when it's convenient to their own identity and ideology, then we'll trust that.
But lucky for us, minority groups will beat up hostesses, so we're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. All right, let's hope. All right, so before we wrap up, do you want to talk about the Haitians on the border? I don't know how much, like, we have to say about this, but I guess, like, around 13,000 Haitians showed up on our southern border and are camped out there, and it looks like Biden's going to turn them away. There's a few interesting, like, kind of political effects that this has. There's just a few, you know, kind of things that you think, like, might be important about this latest, you know, like, mass attempt at crossing the border. I did not understand at first, I'll be honest, how these Haitians went the route that they went. I always thought if you were leaving from Haiti, it would probably make more sense to, like, boat, maybe dock and fuel up in Cuba and then come up to Florida. I don't have a map in front of me, but doesn't that seem like a closer route from Haiti than to go, what, like, through Guatemala, up Mexico? I don't know.
I'm really dumb on this stuff, but I thought Haiti and Costa or Dominican Republic, isn't it an island? How do they even get to Mexico?
Am I
wrong on this?
I feel like, okay, if
you know, we're like pretending like maps don't exist, by the way. It's like, well, we could very easily just go to...
Brian, don't you dare. I feel like if Florida's here and Cuba's here, Haiti's... Boop. Haiti. Let's see how close I was to that. Hold on. Remember, it's Florida, America's dick, Cuba, the middle finger to America, and then, like, dot right there is Haiti. I think. I could be wrong about this. And, all right, hold on. Zoom out a little bit. Yeah, Haiti. Yeah. I was pretty close. Okay. So anyway, it still seems like it'd be easier to go up Florida than to go into, like, South America. And up. Whatever. I don't know. The point is, there's, like, 13,000 of them, and they're there.
Maybe
and
they're not really Haitians. Dun, dun, dun.
We blew the whole thing up. But so anyway, it looks like Biden's gonna try to turn them back. This is, you know, I guess the obvious political comment on it is just that the Democrats really, you know, demagogued the shit out of this issue on the border when it was Trump. But they really don't know what to do. And the obvious, you know, you have this kind of funny dynamic and this. You know, I've gotten, you know, like a handful of libertarians on Twitter who are furious at me for not being, you know, not supporting open borders or whatever. And I think they're out to lunch on this issue. And I think that, you know, if you look at it, like, so after the Democrats demagogued this issue to the, you know, umpteenth degree under Donald Trump, why is it that Joe Biden's response isn't to just go, okay, well, let's just open these borders and let everybody in. Let's let them all in. I mean, why is it? Why is that not his response? Well, the first thing is because it would be overwhelmingly unpopular. overwhelmingly unpopular. Like, no one, you know, outside of, like, the fucking Cato Institute, there's basically no one in America who thinks if 13,000 people just show up, they should just be let in. Like, oh, yeah, of course. You should all just be let in. Like, that's just not, it's not politically popular. It's not practical. I mean, I saw one poll that I remember, and I think this was from years ago, where Open Borders was polling at, I think, 12%. And this was under Donald Trump, when I think a lot of leftists were, you know, kind of like, yeah, we should have kind of like open borders. It was kind of the thing to oppose him. I don't know. I haven't seen like a very recent poll, but I'd imagine with the whole pandemic and everything like that, the support for open borders has probably gone down.
No, they're all vaccinated. Anyone coming over, double vaccine, so you don't have to fear them.
Right. Look, I don't know.
They're coming here with COVID passports.
The truth is that somewhere in the ballpark of 90% of Americans oppose open borders. Now, that's not to say that that proves that open borders are wrong. I mean, I'm sure there are issues that 90% of Americans are on the wrong side of. However, I've always thought that from the libertarian position, unlike many other issues, that I think the public opinion should matter a little bit more on immigration. And the reason why I think that is that, look, if you're talking about someone's, let's say you're talking about drug laws or something like that, right? Now, what percentage of Americans think heroin should be legal? My guess is a small percentage. I don't know. I'd have to go like look these numbers up. But just for the sake of argument, let's say that 90% of Americans think heroin should be illegal. Well, okay. But the heroin is like, first off, if someone owns their own body, they have a right to put in their body what they want to. And no one else should get a vote on that. And if someone sold that person heroin, then clearly it was a voluntary interaction where someone gave it to them. Like, these are free people. I may not like the choices they're making, but who am I to stop that? However, immigration is this kind of different issue where, unlike all of these other things, whether we're talking about drugs or free trade or taxes or any of these other things, right? With free trade, you have two voluntary parties, right? No one is just forcing trade on the other person. You have to both be willing to trade. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a trade. And that is true for drugs as well, right? Like, no one's no libertarian supports someone just shooting someone else up with heroin. We all acknowledge that would be a crime. But you can do it yourself voluntarily. In immigration, you have this thing where, at least under the current system, where people just come. Like, they weren't invited by anybody. No one over here said, I want 13,000 Haitians to come over here. There's just 13,000 Haitians there. And the Cato libertarian open borders position is like, well, you have to let them in. You have to. And it's like, well, where do we have to? Who has to? Because someone has to. And you
Cato
can just make
Institute.
It. Right, right.
They should
oh,
put
by
them
the way.
Up.
No, by the way, they're not willing to. I would shut the fuck up if the Cato Institute said, we're taking all these people in and we're assuming financial responsibility for them. If they
don't they
did,
got coke money?
Yeah, they sure do. And if they did that, I'd go, hey, you know what? Fucking A. They can all come and go stay at the Cato Estate. I'm not, I would have nothing against that, because who the fuck would I be to get in the middle of that, right? But that's not the situation. And so the Cato position is just like, well, the government has to do it. But, the government, like, I don't know, who's actually on the hook for that? Oh, all the taxpayers. That's who's on the hook for that. Doesn't feel very libertarian to me. And so I would say, and this is what Hoppe, the big bad, you know, Hans Hermann Hoppe, he basically said we should have an invitee immigration policy where people can be invited, and the person who invites them has to assume full financial responsibility. They can't pass it off to the taxpayer. But if that's the case, I would absolutely, in that sense, support open borders for anyone invited. You know what I mean? Like, anyone invited in, because then it is a voluntary interaction, and that's what libertarians are all about, right? So I would be fine with that. But the idea that people just show up and you have a situation, this is why I was saying I think the opinion polls actually matter, is that if you're talking about property owners, which as much as it might sound a little bit cold, that's what libertarians really care about. If you're talking about property owners and like 90% of them don't want open borders, well, then the other 10%, okay, it's on you then to invite these people in and put them up and pay for them. And if everybody who wants to be an open borders advocate and look down their nose at anybody who's not, like, okay, so then you do that. Then bring immigrants in and you pay their whole way and don't pass any of it off onto the taxpayer. Then sure, then fine. Then we're all on the same team. But it's interesting, of the 10% or whatever it might be that support open borders, how many of them do that? You know, I had this, some libertarian guy tweeted at me, this was a few weeks ago, and he said something where he goes to me, you know, because he's trying to attack how not supporting open borders, because I don't, is like an unlibertarian position or something, which I don't agree with. I don't think it is. I think the libertarian solution is to privatize everything. And short of that, you're going to have a very tough time figuring out the perfect immigration system. It's certainly not fucking a Department of Homeland Security and ICE and Constitution free zones and fucking people being held in cages and shit. None of that's good. I'm against all of that, but I'm also not for open borders. But he goes to me, he goes, so are you telling me I don't have the right to invite an immigrant onto my property and house them on my property? Like, do I have the right to do that? And I responded and I said, sure. How many you taken in so far? And like some other people were accusing me. They're like, so because he won't do it, you know, he may not, inject heroin. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a right to do that. And I was like, yeah, no, listen, I'm saying he does have the right to do that. My point is he's not. And for all these people who claim they support open borders, it's like how many of, none of you. None of you are doing this, right? So that's my only question, is that who's going to do it? Because you do have a right to do that. I will say this. You do have a right to do that if you assume financial responsibility for them. You don't have a right to force other people to do that. That's the same with the fucking heroin shit. You have a right to do it. You don't have a right to force other people to. So to me, I think I have the perfect libertarian fucking answer on this. And it's not to me the most important thing. There were people who were trying to set up a fucking debate between me and that fucking Cato guy who was mad at me or whatever, and I agreed to it. He didn't. But I would be down to do like a fucking debate on this shit, but I think there's more important issues right now probably to be talking about than open borders or not, which is kind of it literally to me is on the level of debating anarchy versus minarchy right now while every government in the Western world is going totalitarian. It's just so like, yeah, the open borders is never going to happen. Or at least no sooner than anarchy is going to happen. So fucking, what are we even talking about? Let's all be together against all this tyranny. But it is an interesting thing when you see this thing where like, how does anyone say, like when 13,000 people just show up on a border that you just have to let them in? You have to. There's no other answer there. Like, doesn't it just make you want to go to, like, the fucking reducto ad absurdum of it? Like, so what if it's 100,000? What if it's a million? What if it's 100 million? Like, I mean, okay, obviously I'm saying that's not very practically going to happen, but just to, like, prove the point, to use an extreme to prove the point, what happens if it's, you know, a population the size of the country? Fucking Pakistan nukes India. And 500 million people flee, and they're all here. We have to let them in. We have to let them in, every single one of them. And now we are the United States of India. That's just, everyone has to give up everything we have, because they came. And no, the libertarian position isn't that property owners have a right to say, no, I don't want to let you on my property. Which goes back to the example I always use, where it's like if five homeless people show up outside my door and go, hey, we all want to sleep here tonight. Is a libertarian position that I gotta go, shit, all right, let me go wake up my 2-year-old and we'll move her out to the garage. You guys all split her. It's like, no, we have a right to say no. You have a right to exclude people. That's what property ownership is all about, the right to exclude people. Sorry, go ahead.
So to go to go with your living room or homeless people at your door example, now imagine if all 15 of them are in your living room. You might ask two questions. One, what am I going to do with them? But also, how'd they get into my living room? Oh, look, I don't have a wall. They just walked right in here. You see what I'm saying? It's like, how is no one like, hey, how are they just here? Well, how does that happen? We're 15,000 of them. Like, imagine if we all just showed up at Area 51 tomorrow. We wouldn't get into the middle of Area 51. No. They would, and if we all did, they'd be like, well, how do they just get here? Looks like we need another fence.
Well, you know, and people will say that the response from open borders libertarians that I'll hear sometimes is that they'll say, well, you can't equate private property with government property. And it's like, well, yeah, no one's equating them. Like, that's why I'm an anarchist. I don't believe in government property. However, it does not follow from that government property should be treated as commons to the world. It doesn't. It's, yes, government property was built off stolen private property. Absolutely. But it does not follow from that therefore the government should be, like, all government property should be commons to the world. I just don't understand why libertarians even have that idea in their head. And again, it's like, you know, there's a million examples that we use all the time. I've used before, just like, should a drug addict be allowed to enter a public school? Should a fucking, you know, like an insane violent person be allowed to enter a public park? If somebody is on the subway, you know what I mean? Just like fucking like screaming and cursing, do the cops have a right to remove them from that subway? Look, none of these things are going to have a perfect libertarian answer to it, but the cops removing the heroin addict from a public school isn't perfectly libertarian, and the cops allowing him there is not perfectly libertarian. So which one do you want to pick of these two not perfectly libertarian scenarios? I'll go with the one where the drug addict is removed from the school. And when it comes to immigration of these non-libertarian options, I will pick some system of order over chaos. That's it. Now, I really would like it to be a system of order that infringes on the non-aggression principle as much as possible, because that's what we care about at the end of all of this. I don't want to fucking see fucking, you know, anyone fucking held in fucking cages and shit like that. And part of the reason why because I care about the non-aggression principle, I'd much rather see people just turned away. Just turn people away rather than fucking hold them. In fact, like, letting them in or turning them away to me is preferable than just holding them there. But it sure as fuck isn't. It's not clear to me that just letting them in or just turning them away, one is more libertarian than the other. Anyway, all right, we're over time, but that's our show for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Go check out Run Your Mouth. Follow Rob, the COVID Jesus, on Twitter, at Robbie the Fire. Anything else you got coming up to plug, Rob?
Nope, check out my podcast, Run Your Mouth.
Run Your Mouth. And I think we're gonna put together a live Part of the Problem. I think we're going to do one in Brooklyn in the next couple weeks at Brooklyn Comedy Club. So we'll let you know the specifics on that, but we'll figure that out and let you know. And we were thinking about doing it, and me and Rob will both do a little bit of stand up and then do a live Part of the Problem episode. So should be fun. Okay. We'll let
Hell
you know.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening. Peace.